Around the track. Here's Inside Motorsport.
Yes, and this week, Colin Ford, you've enjoyed Oran Park last weekend and have enjoyed seeing the racing on Channel 10 for another weekend's racing at the V8 Supercars in Winton. Quite an interesting one.
That's right, and the racing which showed that Ford is finally getting themselves back in line, and particularly with the performance from Glenn Seaton putting his power on pole. I'll actually have a chat with Glenn a bit later on. So joining us now is the editor of Motorsport News, who's no doubt by the sound he's probably down there at Winton or on his way back from Winton, Phil Brannigan. Phil, the new look Motorsport News now on the newsstand, and what's the reaction been like?
It's been really good, Colin. It's, we've got a few things wrong. As anyone who's bought the magazine will tell you, a couple of the stories are hard to read. Sorry about that, folks. We're hard at work on the next issue, and we've learned a few things, but generally the response has been fantastic.
Mm. Of course, it's that much handier size that sort of doesn't blow itself around in the wind if you're trying to read it on a tram or something similar.
Yeah, one of our readers wrote in and said it's really good now because I can hide it under a copy of the New Idea.
Interesting combination of reading.
Well, we could do that. We're thinking of actually putting in a few macrame patterns and recipes. So your favourite driver, cooking with Bargs, barbecuing with Bargs, that might be a good story.
Yeah, so some of the drivers, they wouldn't like to talk about barbecuing, particularly, I know a couple of drivers have had barbecued cars at various times.
Well, yeah, there's a few dead cars going home to various parts of the country even as we speak, I'm sure, but no fires, thank goodness.
A bit too wet for that down at Winton because of the rain over the last few days.
Yeah, apparently it tipped down last night. Beautiful day today. I think Tony Cochran should make a bid to run the Bureau of Meteorology, but... We've had good weather at Canberra, in your part of the world, in the middle of winter, and we've had fairly good weather at Winton.
Mm. And of course, the racing down there today, Winton, a bit of a turnaround from what we normally see.
Well, for a moment there, we were wondering about who the heck was going to come across the line. There were black flags, and there were bent cars, and the cars weren't quite trashed, but some of the cars had spent more time on the green stuff than they did on the black stuff.
Mm. And of course, we had the opportunity as well to see a few of the photographers seeing some Olympic times getting away from an errant tyre from a Formula Holden.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. You look up out of your viewfinder and suddenly you see an Avon tyre bouncing over your box or a Dunlop in this particular case. So, yes, a lucky escape. No one was hurt. Motor racing is dangerous. And, of course, the photographers, as soon as it happened, figured, oh, well, it can't happen twice. And they went back to taking their shot.
Mm. Obviously, I think somebody might be starting to talk about possibly tethering... wheels to Shazzy's for Formula Holden after this meeting.
Well, we're doing it in Formula One. We're talking about doing it in IndyCar racing. I know that Jaguar have been sitting in the new tender system on one of their hacks in F1, so perhaps we might even see mudguards on Formula One cars before very much longer.
Oh, geez, wouldn't they then start to call them Le Mans sports cars?
Don't say that.
Well, one of the stories I know you're going to be featuring this week, along with all the results from a very big weekend internationally in motorsport, is of course Mark Webber's column, because this week in Motorsport News he'll be explaining the details as to why in the end he didn't do the test in the 2000 car, and I know there's been a lot of speculation, but Mark will be speaking directly to you. And
he will. It was a case of basically the decision about to get in the car has been widely reported that he said signed this contract, it was going to be for 2001 and 2002 as well. And Mark kind of looked at it and went, no, and didn't get to drive the 2000 car. Fairly disappointed, as you would understand, but hopefully he showed himself to be a man who's going to be able to stand up and make his own choices. And as you all know, that goes down a long way in Grand Prix racing.
Mm. That's it. If you can stand up yourself and get the right deal, that's half the battle these days.
Pretty well. I mean, you've got to have a good seat when the music stops. Jack Villeneuve has been very good at doing that. The VAR car starting to come good now, and if he goes to Benetton next year, you know, maybe Benetton might be looking for a young Australian driver to go with it. Who knows?
Mm. There's always opportunities for people. Because Jenson Button is the one who they're saying, well, where will, when the merry-go-round ends, where will he end up with Montoya coming into Formula One?
I don't understand that situation. I hope somewhere down the road that if Jensen does end up with another F1 team, I hope he goes out and absolutely belts Williams and makes them pay for getting rid of him. I think he's a proving driver. I don't know what Sir Frank was asking him to do this year, but as far as I'm concerned, he's had an outstanding debut season in a car which hasn't been always been easy to drive.
I'll tell you what, he has put on a great performance. And another man who's been putting on a great performance, we're going to talk in more detail, but I want people to be assured that rallying coverage has not been lost by Motorsport News in the chain, and that is the Rally of New Zealand, Possum Vaughan, going back over there with a car he bent in Queensland only a week ago, and 2 weeks ago, and has put it back together and been the first New Zealander home.
Yeah, good result from Possum, you'd expect that. It's good to see the superstars in New Zealand. We're going to have full coverage, of course, and John Thompson actually going to New Zealand by Thursday to... How would he be feeling watching the Blitters like that result on Saturday night with his Kiwi mates going a few Steinlagers at the bar?
I think he'd be looking for the nearest place to get hired.
Probably. And there's a few Kiwis at the track today, I must say. Craig Baird's a cheeky young chap when New Zealanders get up. Luckily, it won't be happening too much in the future.
Yeah, of course, looking forward to the next issue of Motorsport News, and that you'll have all the news from Wynton. What other things can we look forward to?
Well, of course, the speedway coverage, drag racing coverage, of course, the latest from the USA, full in-depth interview we followed up with our Larry Perkins interview, which got a very good response this week. Garth Hander goes under the gorilla. He's got some very, very interesting things to say about Ford and why they're not winning. And he's not known for taking a backward step on the racetrack, and he proves it off the track this week.
No, and in fact, Garth Hander's going to be on the show. Great way of previewing that. He's on the show in 5 minutes' time.
He's a good bloke. You'll have a nice yarn with him.
Yes, and talking speedway there, I have a piece of information. A mate of mine rang me up from the States this morning, and of course the paper is in front of me, but Brooke Tatnall, who's been doing a fantastic job in the Casey Holmes sprint car there in the World of Outdoor Series, had a major accident and was hospitalised, and I believe still is hospitalised as of this time. Unfortunately, he got involved on the high banks of Eldora, Ohio, and flipped over. Craig Delansky came into the accident late and sort of drove into the Tatnall wreck. Unfortunately, with sprint cars, unlike their supercars, as in Perkins hitting Skate, you don't have as much protection, and that has wound up with both of them going to hospital. Unfortunate news for Brooke Tatnall, who was putting on a fantastic job this year on the World of Outlaw Trail.
He really has had a very strong season. Let's hope Brooke is okay. We've actually got a chat with Brooke, the Wade Auger did in the USA a few weeks ago, and Brooke's one of the most straightforward and most determined guys you're ever going to meet in any sphere of motorsport, and let's hope that Brooke is A-okay.
All right, that might have been the hot one for you. The other one that you might want to get on to, because we've been speaking to New Zealand, Cody Croker disqualified after running second in Group N. That's one we go into all the details on that a little bit later on the show.
Yeah, it sounds like there's been plenty happening over there in New Zealand. And, of course, Team Kiwi was at Wynton this weekend, and they are about to get their paws on their own V8 car for their run at Bathurst a little bit later in the year and into 2001.
Mm. Because that's an interesting setup that they're running there. They're actually running for the V8 supercars. They're also running New Zealand 2-litre series as well. So they're covering both domestic series, as one might put it.
That's right, they're actually going to get the car that Larry Perkins raced this weekend, and ultimately a second car as well. I understand they've got a big budget. Looks like Angus Fogg's going to be the lead driver at the moment after Shane Pratt kind of didn't have a very good test when he drove at Wynton a few weeks ago.
One other thing that I know you'll be covering, because you haven't lost any of your edge on race coverage in Motorsport News, the New Look edition, you have to go to a slightly different place in the news agent, but is Oran Park last weekend, the Super Tourers, and in fact a better crowd at the Super Tourers race, Oran Park officials have stated, than for the V8 Lights race.
Well, that's interesting. It was actually pretty good racing. For the first time this year, well, even though Paul Morris won both the races, I think we actually saw him struggle for tyre grip. And John Henderson is getting to the stage now where he's confident enough in the Vectra, so maybe he's starting to think about beating Morris in an upcoming round. Of course, they go to Wynton in a few weeks' time, so that's neutral ground for both teams. And maybe we'll see a front-wheel drive car put one over the BMW.
Mm. Now, one of the things we've seen today on Channel 10's coverage was they had a piece on promoting the V8 Lights. Now, we've heard sort of some grumblings going on from some of the V8 Lights runners, the fact that they believe that they weren't getting a fair deal on the amount of coverage that they would have liked in promotion that was promised them at the start of the season. Have you heard anything down that sort of line?
No, I haven't really, but there's kind of been a backstop position that if the V8 Lights don't really take off in their own right, what may happen is you might start to see the Chronicle V8 Light series appearing on the Shell series Shell Championship Series calendar, which means one of the other classes would have to go. And then the question's going to be asked, will it be former Holden or GDP or Nations Cup, or what's going to be the situation? So, I don't know. I mean, I think the Chronicle Lights is a great theory, but like anything else, it kind of takes a little while to catch on. And don't forget, Super Tours has been around for 4 or 5 years, so it's been able to build up its own following.
Mm. I think some of the best Super Touring Car programs have actually been when they've been running the trucks and the Super Touring Cars together. And I know you followed the Super Touring Cars now for a long, long time. And Oran Park always seemed to have that double bill, which created a lot of attention.
I'd say they'd break them together. Like, trucks, supercars, supercars, same race, fantastic.
Grothy tried that a few years ago, didn't he?
Something like that.
A Ute, that's a truck. Or it's a hybrid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, now Motorsport News, out on the shelves this Thursday nationally, and of course in the new look size, so as I said before, we have to go to a slightly different place in the news counter. But in actual fact, I know, speaking to Chris Landon, even though it's a smaller size, you actually have more pages of written articles than in the previous size.
Yeah, we're actually trying to adjust our fights to that, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, more words, more colour, and more photos, and more everything, more news, we hope.
All right. We look forward to the next edition of Motorsport News when it comes out this coming Thursday. Phil Cragan, thanks for talking to us.
Okay, thanks,
Colin.
Third place in today's V8 Supercar round at Winton, a very happy Glenn Seaton. Second place in the championship, consolidating all the way. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a good day for us. It looked like being a real good day. It looked like we were going to actually take out the round win, but there was some oil dumped down on the in the last race, and while I was leading, I got caught up on the oil, and which took out the first three cars, which is myself, Garth Tander, and also Greg Murphy. So that was disappointing, but to end up getting back on the road and end up finishing third on the day, it was great for the team and great for Ford.
Of course, for this meeting, it's the first time we've seen Ford back on pole position for a while and yourself back on pole. That must have been a pretty good feeling for you at the end of qualifying.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I always expected the car to be very good at Winton because it's one of our test tracks, and it really showed its pace. So hopefully we go to the next round, which is Oran Park, that will be good for us, that we will actually qualify well there and also race well, because Mark Gates is still a little bit ahead in points. I think he's around about the 120 mark, and before this weekend he's 160, so we've gained some points back on him. But there's still a long way to go in the championship, and still a lot of points up for grabs, but this weekend has been great for us.
And of course also your teammate there, particularly in the first race, Neil Crompton, also showing the fact that Sports Pictures Racing really had those Falcons flying at Vinton.
Yeah, it did. Neil got caught up in someone else's incident in the second race, which ended up making him finish 19th, but in the first race he finished third, and then he got back to 8th in the third race, so that was a great result for us as well, and great result for Neil. And yeah, as you say, the two cars are actually starting to really show their pace now.
One of the things that's been mentioned is the fact that there is obviously this new Bridgestone tyre that does suit the Falcons a bit better. Has it been a case of just adapting the cars to suit that new Bridgestone tyre?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's probably, when I look back on it, this tyre that we're running now actually suits our car better than the existing tyre we had before. So that's been a good change for us, for our team, and naturally it's been a very, very consistent tyre. There's no teams that have had any problems with it. It's a very durable tyre, and it's a tyre that's really showing up trumps for the category.
And obviously, you say the next round to go to is Oran Park, the Grand Prix circuit there, a place where you can probably stretch the legs of the Falcon quite well. Any sort of predictions how you'll probably go for that round?
Well, naturally, our plan is we're going there fairly confident that we'll be right on the pace, but Oran Park's a circuit that no Level 1 team. Level 1 supercar teams get to check that, so we're all fairly new once we turn up there on Saturday morning and see how the cars operate. But at this stage, Oran Park's been a great hunting ground for us. We've had some great results there, and hopefully in a couple of weeks' time we can go back there and have a great result again.
It's one of the sort of oddball parts of last year's race at Oran Park, the fact that it was the privateer-type drivers running the ELs who did there in qualifying. Hopefully a bit of a turnaround this year, with everybody now getting much more used to the AUs and how they handle.
Yeah, that's right. So we've had 12 months under our belts now to to develop the AU. The AU has been a tricky car to develop, and it's very fine changes that you need to do to bridge the back gap. The EL Jigs were very successful there last year, and they've been very successful there in the past. So hopefully we've made up that time that we were lacking there last year, and enough to hopefully beat the hole.
Well, Glenn, hopefully when you get there again, Byron Park, you might be able to make it a bit of a happy hunting ground for the sort of kicks of racing team, yourself and Neil Compton. And thanks very much for joining us this evening on Inside Motorsport.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think Oran Park should be good for us. As I said earlier, it has been a great hunting ground, and it's one round that I need to get to the maximum points on mark, because the championship's getting close to the end, and we want to have as close as we can hustle right to the end of the championship.
Yes, and well, unfortunately there you could hear the beast in the background. We were just set to go to Garth Sander, and the phone dropped out. But one,
we always know the phone coverage around Winton is horrific. But anyhow, the interesting other stories this weekend, of course, and this week regarding the VX2, because the fact that we've had the report that apparently a couple of the four teams have been testing the Holden aero kit as part of the parity discussion in the last week or so. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. Apparently the Midas 10 team and the Dick Johnson Racing team both had the opportunity to run with a Holden aero kit, which is an interesting way of operating.
And, well, it Garth Sander is just out of range now, so we apologise for that one. But it seems that a holiday can make all the difference in, well, motorsport and in sport in general, because as we cross to the BBC, Mika Häkkinen has taken the pole after a well-earned rest.
The McLaren driver edged out his teammate David Coulthard is the second, with the Ferraris of Rubens Barrichello and Michael Schumacher third and fourth fastest. Reporting from the A1 ring, here's our motor racing correspondent, Jonathan Ledyard.
David Coulthard had the measure of Michael Schumacher, who'll start right behind him in the race, but he had no answer to a teammate fresh from some quality time at home in Monaco. This was the Mika Häkkinen of old, the one-lap wonder without peer on his day, but recently off colour and off pole since April. It's McLaren's first front row in 4 months, and it's turned up the heat on Schumacher, whose start-line antics will be under the microscope even more from row two, alongside another refreshed holidaymaker, Rubens Barrichello. Jarno Trulli was best of the rest for Jordan in fifth. Ricardo Zonta and Jacques Villeneuve came in sixth and seventh for the VAR Honda team. Eddie Irvine's replacement at Jaguar, the 25-year-old Brazilian Luciano Berti, didn't disgrace himself, albeit on the back row. Johnny Herbert's suspension collapsed as he attempted to improve from 16th. And Jenson Button's story was equally devoid of highlights in 18th, except for the beating of his Williams teammate Ralf Schumacher. Alexander Wurz, under pressure at Benetton, but on his home track, was 14th, comfortably outpaced by Giancarlo Fisichella, who was 8th.
So, Mika Häkkinen on pole after taking a week off, and he certainly believes he's benefited from having some time away from the track.
Most important was to just take it easy and to do good exercise and just to relax and get your life sorted, basically, and relax. I mean, I don't know how to explain this, but the time has been very intensive in terms of travelling, for testing, promotions, races, and I think this year, of course, the Grand Prix is every 2 weeks, so it is different than in the past. So my program, what I've been doing this year, probably has not been so suitable. But now I feel good. I mean, I'm looking forward.
On to a different form of motorsport, and the second day of the New Zealand Motor Rally finished with a new leader. The Frenchman Francois Delacour, who took the honours on the opening day, wasn't able to complete all the stages this time. From Auckland, Sam Lloyd reports.
The Peugeots continued to dominate this event. On day one, Francois Delacour set the pace, but was forced to retire today with gearbox problems. But at least he relinquished his lead to teammate Marcus Granholm. The Finn set consistently quick times to lead by nearly 23 seconds ahead of second place Colin McRae in the Ford, while championship leader Richard Burns completes the top three in the Subaru. But today saw many retirements, including of course Delacour, Mitsubishi's Freddie Lloyd, and former world champion Didier Auriol, who crashed in the Seat. But as for those still in the running, they now face the shortest day of the rally. 7 stages in total, with the route heading towards the famous forest near Maramarua before the finish, and the prospect of a real fight for victory.
Ben Lloyd there, reporting for the BBC World Service.
Brendan Ramsey, a man who has enjoyed some interesting racing out there in the Formula Holden today, and some great news as Tim Lay has managed to make somewhat of a comeback in the series.
Yeah, great news for Tim today as he took away two race wins at Winton in an event that probably saw some interesting action when Jumbrell and Steve Owen collided and sent a wheel veering off through the air and into the media centre. So it's been action aplenty at Winton, but great results for Tim Lay, and he'll be very happy to post, first of all, a finish and then actually two race wins.
Now, it was not without its drama. Tim Lay all season has seemed to have been plagued with controversy and upset. This weekend, no exception, he had to borrow an engine from the NRC team.
That's right. His woes continued to begin with when his engine went bad during the practice sessions on Friday. And he had some words with Arthur Abrahams from the NRC team, who kindly donated their spare engine. And I don't know if Christian Murchison from NRC was too happy to then see Tim Lay go and put it on pole with a very quick time. So, you know, Tim has had a very interesting run, but I know that he's very, very happy after those two race wins.
Well, in actual fact, Brennan, we do have Tim Lay on the line with us, so we might just let him join in the conversation as well. And Tim, congratulations, fantastic run.
Yeah, no, it was a good result today for us.
Now, what was the thoughts? Did Arthur Abraham say anything to you? As Brent was saying, you put it on pole after borrowing an engine.
Yeah, no, Arthur has the same engine builder as us and was very kind to lend us an engine for qualifying on Saturday, and I don't think they probably expected it to be as good as what it was, but it turned out fine, and after today it even turned out better.
Now, at the beginning of the season, you're looking real good with front row starts at places like Eastern Creek and the like. How hard has it been for you this season with the disappointment that you have had to endure?
It's been absolutely up until now, it's been an absolutely shocking year. We've just been plagued with reliability problems. At Phillip Island, we're in the position to win the race, and it broke. Canberra, we had some problems at Eastern Creek, which involved some brakes and us having an excursion off the circuit. But you know, I guess you can't sort of dwell on bad things, and we've just got on with it from there. And fortunately, today has been a good result, and just delighted.
I was lucky enough to hear a fellow by the name of Greg Ray in America, who won the 500, the Midas 500 in Atlanta. He sort of took the attitude after winning the race today, we've got three races left in the championship, and I can't win the championship, but I'm out to win as many races as I can. Is that how you're looking at the rest of the season?
Yep, that's hit the nail on the head exactly. I mean, we can't win the championship from here, and if we do, it'll be a fluke. The fact of the matter is we can continue to, you know, we've had three pole positions, we've been virtually as quick as anyone at every circuit this year, and a lot of people can see that things just haven't gone our way, and if I can just continue and find the budget to do the next two races, then winning races is the only reason we'll go there, because we've got nothing else to, you know, second or third, it just means nothing, and, you know, really we'll just go for race wins.
Now, I know that you have been working quite hard, and your sponsorship this year has come from a lot of local businesses right throughout each of the areas that you've been racing in.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to find a big sponsor for Formula Holden. The budget required to run the cars is quite large, but when the Canberra race came up, and we got quite a few local businesses involved there, and just with the M111 connection, we've got some more money for them to hear from Booth, who sell prepaid mobile phones. So they've been kind enough to get us to Winton, and we'll just get on and get to Oran Park and Melba.
Well, Tim, congratulations. It has been a pretty tough road for you this season. I think it should be an interesting one going to the Grand Prix circuit at Oran Park.
Yeah, well, we tested their in the past, and I think the car will be quite good there, so I'm looking forward to that one. And I think if we can just continue doing what we're doing at the moment, we'll get a good result at the end of the year.
All right, then. Well, Tim, thanks for joining us once again on Inside Motorsport.
Thank you very much.
And with Tim Lay's win there, and unfortunately, Brendan Ramsey dropped out, and we were going to
talk about the championship a little bit longer, because Christian Murchison, at the end of the first race, was out there in front. And Colin, Christian Murchison, a young fellow, has been doing extremely well.
That's right. One of those riders who's been sort of building up over a period of time and doing quite well for himself. And the beauty of it is that, you know, you see some of these young drivers do come on, and the name of the game is, if they get the opportunity, they have the opportunity to shine. And I think Formula Holden is one of those great formulas where they can really get out there and compete on fairly equal, on equal ground. And that's the beauty of it.
Brenton Ramsey does rejoin us on the line. I'm sorry about that, Brenton, but we were just talking. And I'm too sharp this time.
The man keeps hitting buttons left, right, and center. Anyhow, what we'll
I've
do
pressed about 10 too many buttons too tonight.
Okay, well, anyhow, while he's talking on that, we'll jump back to some other news. And part of the news this week coming out is the interesting news in terms of the lead up to Bathurst is that the Holden Racing Team has signed Ivan
and Jason Plato as their drivers for Bathurst, the number two car. And we're back again with Brenton Ramsey with Scotch again.
Sorry about that, Brenton, but I did want to mention before we wrapped up on Formula Holden tonight that it is an interesting position in the championship with Tim Way taking the two wins. Murchison having a good result in Heat 1 in the middle of the day was actually leading the championship by himself.
The championship at the moment is quite open. I didn't quite catch the first part of what you were saying there, Craig.
And Murchison, with a good result in race one, finishing second behind Lake, did give him a slight advantage.
In race one today?
Yes.
Christian, I think, actually didn't finish race one when he came together with a spin with Steve Owen. So Simon went ahead after race one and maintained that lead in race two from the championship today. Tim has obviously built his points all up now, and Tim's actually running fourth in the championship behind Halliday. So at the moment the championship looks like Wills, Murchison, Halliday and Tim Lay.
Alright, and well, how many points are up for grabs at Oran Park in the next round?
Well, we've got four races left, so that gives a theoretical maximum of 80 points up for grabs. So you could say that Halliday could take the championship if Wills and Murchison did have a bad run, but that's probably unlikely. I think though at this stage the run for second between Murchison, Halliday and Tim Lay is going to be fairly tight, and who knows which way it's going to go between Wills and Murchison. So a number of things could happen, and basically we're on again on the 30th of July at Oran Park in Sydney, and then later in August at Malala. So four races, two rounds to go, and I think the championship battle is still quite a good battle.
And of course it really is those two guys who are at the front of the field, Wills and Murchison, who are going to be the guys that are going to be the hard ones to beat.
They are, and it's great with Tim Payne, the result from the board today. I mean, even Thomas confirmed his drive with the Pertec team in the endurance races. I don't know that Tim's confirmed the V8 drive at this stage, but they'd have to be looking over the pit wall after today and saying this boy has got a fair bit of class.
Well, Brenton Ramsey, thank you very much for joining us today on Inside Motorsport, and we'll look forward to talking to you at the Oran Park round.
No problem, and my apologies for the poor phone connection. We'll make sure that we're on top of that next time.
No worries, we'll just send the bill to Telstra.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
An interesting battle there in Formula Holden, still not resolved, and well, I really think the young Western Australian Christian Murchison can pull that one off.
Yeah, he's actually, I think he's a fairly tenacious young fellow, and give him half a chance, I reckon he'll take it right up to Simon Wills, and you know, maybe the fact is that since Simon Wills has now had his drive with the Pertec team announced, maybe his mind might start wandering slightly. So that's always a possibility.
Alright, I don't know about that so much, but we should also have a quick look as we go too much further into the show at the CART FedEx Champ Car Series, because that one is in an interesting place, not only in as much as how everything is panning out for the series leader in the championship, which, of course, the series leader at the moment is Roberto Moreno, the superstar. And one of the most experienced men in North American open-wheel racing. But the fact that it's not drawing a crowd in North America, which is something that I think a lot of people are just absolutely unable to fathom. Now, this weekend, the event, and I know Ted Norton does send his apologies to, he was expecting quite a big Ford day today and has promptly celebrated, probably a bit like Varg has, and that's the reason why we aren't doing a Vargwana interview this week. But anyway, he was of course, joining us from North America all last season, and this week with the Molson Indy in Toronto, it has been quite an interesting look at how the champ cars are going. Because Helio Castroneves from the Marlboro Team Penske has continued a fantastic month in the FedEx Champ Car Series. Success once again coming on Saturday when he earned pole position for the Molson Indy before a record Saturday crowd. Now remember, this is Canada, and they do love their open wheel racing over there in Canada. And that record crowd of 52,535. Could we see the FedEx Champ Car Series not being a North American series at all, with the rounds they have in Brazil and Australia, going to Germany to the new ring there, and also to England? Could we see that less and less races in the FedEx Champ Car Series are run in North America?
Well, that's one of the things I think they've got to look at, is that the other thing that people have been saying too is the fact that there's less and less American drivers in that championship, so people see it less of a domestic series, and the sort of the propensity for a whole string of Brazilian drivers and people with foreign-sounding names to leap into the cars is actually sort of, I suppose this is one of the things that sort of came about with IRL as well. So it's made things quite difficult for them, but, you know, who knows where we're going to go from here, but, you know, I think it's probably some of the most exciting racing around, and why people aren't following America has got me beat.
Now, Helio Castroneves, whose first career Champ Car victory came only a few weeks ago at Detroit, put together a lap of 110.45 miles per hour on the temporary 1.755 mile street circuit at Exhibition Place. The pole position was I think his third of his career and his second in as many events, including one on June 24 at Portland International Raceway. Castroneves also makes his eighth top 10 start in 10 events this season with, four top three in his past six outings. He spoke to the media soon after he jumped out of the car.
I tell you, man, what an advice. Everything just came so perfectly, and of course, I'm always intent to give me a great car, and I'm just so happy that everything ended up on the right direction.
On Friday afternoon, you had a plenum group.
Yeah, as soon as we took the car from the truck, we knew the car was good. I knew it was going to be tough, but when happened this problem, we have to turn the page, put it on, and just go for the what you have. So I'm glad that I did that, and we're just going to continue good job. It's important is tomorrow, so that's 4 points, which is important.
I tell you, it's going to be great. Super Junior, is it second?
That's great. I mean, that's really nice. I mean, it's going to be great. We know each other, like you said. Both of us want to have a point, and hey, we just both are going to go fast. It doesn't matter who is beside each other. We're just outside, we're friends. Inside, we have to go fast.
That was Helio Castroneves speaking about his front row partner, Christian D'Amato, who is in the Toyota Reynard. The PPI Motorsports car has helped form the all-Brazilian front row. After qualifying second at 109.804 miles per hour, D'Amato's outside pole winning effort is a career best in his second top five finish at Cleveland 2 weeks ago. Starting third, the first and only one of two Americans, Michael Andretti, in Newman Haas Racing car, who will make a season best start, improving on a fourth at Cleveland. With an effort, Andretti has now qualified among the top 10 drivers in career appearances. So, Christian D'Amato spoke to the media after his qualifying run.
Second on the grid, starts in the front row, Cristiano D'Amato. Tell me about your effort here today. Congratulations.
It was good to reverse the situation, because yesterday we started, the car wasn't very good. We had a lot of problems under braking overnight. Sit with my engineer here, discussed many, many things. We found a couple other little things that were wrong in the car. And we just worked a lot overnight. So this morning the car was good, better just like that. In qualifying, we were able just to tune it a little bit more from what we have in the morning. We just need to find the other two same failures ahead of us. It's good, but it's not the first time I started ahead of those guys. But it's just good.
Cristiano D'Amato, they're speaking about his second position start in tomorrow's race. Rounding out the top five, as I mentioned, Michael Andretti is third. Defending FedEx Champ Car Series and Indianapolis 500 champion Juan Montoya will start out of fourth in fifth position. Will be Dario Franchitti, so Franchitti having probably one of his better starts of the season. The FedEx Champ Car Series points leader, Roberto Moreno, is 16th fastest. He lost in the final few minutes of the hour qualifying session after spinning in turn 6 and being unable to get restarted. Moreno holds a 90-68 point lead over Andretti in the championship entering this weekend's 10th round. 23 of the 25 qualifiers were separated by fewer than 2 seconds.
It's interesting too that in the past week they have done some testing with the champ car drivers with the wings that they run there, and the decision being taken, they did some back-to-back testing over 2 days of the two forms of wings they've got in terms of the downforce and the now turbulence, etc., and they've decided to go with the Mark II version wing kit, because apparently it's been a much more stable setup. But of course, looking towards the end of this year and the American Le Mans Series sports car race in Adelaide, and it appears that the Audi team will be bringing two of their cars down to Adelaide at the end of this year. The talk is at this point in time that they will most likely bring the team's winning combination of drivers, Frank Dealer, Emanuele Pirro, Tom Christensen, down to run in Adelaide. And if that happens, that'll be a big boost for that race down there to see the Audi. And of course, at a time when Audi has sort of dominated Le Mans, it's talk that BMW may pull out of the American Le Mans Series to concentrate more on its Formula One program. Naturally enough, seeing the fact of where they've qualified with the two Williams BMWs this weekend, down at 18th and 19th place out of a 22-car grid at the Austrian Grand Prix. I suppose Gerhard Berger, being an Austrian, probably hanging his head in shame. They're going to concentrate on that. So, and the fact they also lost the constructors' title to Benoz last year, they are probably going to look at pulling out. That they're not particularly happy with, I suppose, their investment there.
Mm.
And they're not going to have the cars continue running in the hands of privateers. At the other side of things, Dallara has to build the Chrysler sports car, with Orica backing down on the building program. And so we're going to see Dallara, the Italian race team preparer, setting up what is going to be an exclusive chassis for the use of Chrysler with their sports car Challenge, rather than past they've been running a Reynard chassis, which is also used by a number of other different people. So looks good for the sports car series for the future.
Yes, and also it was interesting to see Klaus Ludwig come out during the week and saying Mercedes has quite a bit of work to do to catch up with the Audis in the DTM.
Mm. And also catch up with the Opels. Yes. Interesting enough, last weekend at the race there, I think it was, or the weekend before, Joachim Winkelhock back in the winner's square again with the Opel team, and then more usually connected with BMW. And the second race there was Bernd Schneider, Mark Webber's old GT counterpart. Actually, while I think of it too, I saw the most incredible photograph of the day of some T-shirts people prepared for Le Mans this year, and it featured the flying Mercedes-Benz Silverados from last year, including that of Mark Webber, and on the front it had Norbert Haug's flying circus.
That's on Inside Motorsport, and the Rally of New Zealand, always an exciting rally, normally plagued with rain, and this year plagued with a different problem, and I bet you're glad of it, dust.
Yeah, well, we had a bit of dust, but to counteract that, we had a hang of a lot of wind. So the dust didn't become a problem. It was blown away in very short order. In most of the special stages, that wind dust was a problem.
All right. Now, the event was a very interesting one because Peugeot, not known as a WRC manufacturer, but certainly has been, clicking at everyone's heels with Marcus Grönholm doing a fantastic job, out there in front in the early days of its running.
Yeah, well, Peugeot, I think if you go back quite a few years, we're very, very strong with the 205 Peugeot. Now we've got this new machine from Peugeot, their re-entry, if you like, into the World Rally Championship, and they had a wonderful result here. At one stage, they were running in 1-2, but in the finish, it was Marcus Grönholm that came home in first place in the Peugeot, and by gosh, that car was a real grunty machine.
Yeah, they're a beautiful-looking car, too, just... unlike the Ford Mitsubishis and the other cars that are very boxy, the Peugeot still has some lines and it has a great look about it, doesn't it?
Oh, it does too, and that was tremendous. But if you'd like to have a news flash on this, I've been talking to the clerk of the course, and the Australian Cody Crocker has just been excluded from the results. I mean, no more than 5 minutes ago. And that was because of some illegal brake system that he had in his Subaru. So that's very, very hot news, flash news from New Zealand, that Cody Crocker, who was second in Group N in the championship and eighth overall, has in fact been excluded from the result. He has time to protest that exclusion, but that's the hot news at the moment.
Gee, isn't it enough you got the Bledisloe Cup back last night?
Oh, but how close was that? I mean, hell, we had to leave it to the very last minute and we had to rely on Man Mountain, with Tane Randall inside to give it to Jonah, but didn't the Australians play well? I said to the people I was watching the game with, I said we're either going to win this by 100 points or lose it altogether, and the way the Aussies came back, it was tremendous.
Yeah, I was shell-shocked after 5 minutes, though, I'll tell you.
any sporting fixture between Australia and New Zealanders just really goes, it just drags the best out of every player, every competitor, whether it's rugby, league, motor rallying or whatever, and it was just great to see some of those big Australian fools, gosh, they hit hard.
Mm. Yes, and one of New Zealand's favourite sons, you mentioned Jonah Lomu, but in motor racing parlay, it is, of course, Possum Bourne. Cody Crocker is his team driver, which you think would get him in the good books with New Zealand officials. But be that as it may, how did Possum go?
Possum finished in sixth place. He was very pleased with that performance. If you just had a look at the results, it was Grönholm in first place, followed by Colin McRae, then Carlos Sainz, then Peter Solberg, Kenneth Eriksson back in the Hyundai, and then Possum Bourne in sixth place. So he picks up a world championship point.
That's fantastic news, and Possum no stranger to WRC events.
Well, he isn't, and he's no stranger to either of us on both sides of the Tasman. He has stated that his first job was to stay, will be the first privateer home. Secondly, of course, his aim this year is the Asia Pacific Championship, and this will aid his performance in that area. Thirdly, was to be the first New Zealander. So he's done very well in this rally. He had a bit of a problem yesterday when he was starting to leak some hydraulic fluid, but they corrected that and he got through okay. But if you look at the times, it was only 14 seconds back from McRae from Grönholm, then another 1 minute back to Saints, or 1:18, 3 minutes back from the leader for Solberg, 3 minutes 12 to Eriksson, and then it was 6 minutes. So Possum, his aim was to stay within 1 second a kilometre from the winning car, and he's pretty much done that. So he's achieved his aims at this round of the World Rally Championship for sure.
Now, of course, a lot of interest in across the ditch there, as we are seeing more and more New Zealanders coming over to be part of the Australian Rally Championship. And for the people who are familiar with the rally drivers, the likes of Joe McAndrew, has he rejoined the circuit in New Zealand?
Yes, he has. And, Joe came in home in 14th place in his Subaru. Of course, it's not as up-to-date as Possum's, and Possum's is certainly not up-to-date as the works team. So I think a 14th place for Joe was a pretty good effort. Rhys Jones, unfortunately, was forced to withdraw. He had an orphan and fell off the road and out of the rally. But certainly Joe, one well-known driver, and even though he struggles a bit with the money, and that is motor racing, he still drives a very good rally.
For the Aussies, a hope there in Formula 2 was, of course, Simon Evans. And Formula 2, another category which has been a real eye-opener in the last few years.
Yes, Simon, is that Simon's, is that the Subaru?
No, the Volkswagen.
Oh, the Volkswagen, yes, yes, beg your pardon. There's two Evanses in the field. Yeah, well, Simon actually came in 26th place. He was car 41. So that was an excellent performance from Simon, a very good performance indeed. So he climbed a lot of places and did very well indeed. He was 13th in his class, so that's an excellent performance as well.
Yeah, sounds like he had a good run because he is also chasing Asia Pacific points in that Volkswagen. For the people who are following Formula 2, do you have a rundown of how that all panned out?
Not as yet. We're still just waiting for that to come through, but certainly I can say that out of the 72 starters, there were 44 finishes, so that's not a bad effort for New Zealand conditions, without the rain, of course, but what really caught a lot of people, a lot of the drivers and teams by surprise, was how hard the roads were, and they couldn't quite pick the right tyre compounds early on in the rally. And some of them were coming out with absolutely threadbare tyres on some of the stages, and especially the stage yesterday up at Mangatauroa, which was 59 kilometres long, which is the longest stage apart from in the safari, longest stage in world rallying.
All right then. Well, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you, and it sounds like everyone over there needs to be congratulated. Some great running, and well, as I said at the top, a couple of years marred by some pretty torrential rain. Everyone would be quite happy to see this one, a dry one, and some new records coming out of it all.
Absolutely.
All right, then. Thanks very much for your time, Grant.
Good pleasure.
Yeah, and continuing on with the rally news, there's news that during the week that Citroën will be entering their Zarsa C4 World Rally car in next year's World Rally Championship. They'll be entering four rallies during the year to help develop that vehicle. And at this stage, they look like they will use a couple of different drivers. Very likely, Thomas Redstrom from Sweden, along with one of their current drivers, either Filip Logalski or Jesus Puras, will be with that team. So it's interesting to see that Citroën coming back in. At the same time, the bids are on. The bidding war for the television coverage for the World Rally Championship is still going on, with rallying TV boss David Richards on the brink of deciding which company is going to do the filming in the future. Current and past has been ISC, and there's been a whole swag of companies, including the BBC and a number of others, who've been putting their bids. And hopefully we'll know soon who's going to be giving us the World Rally Championship coverage in the future, because that's an important part of the whole deal to make rallying better.
It is quite an interesting time for rally fans, isn't it? Because some big changes. Now that the WRC is being owned by one person who obviously is going to want to make a quid from it, it has the potential now of really pushing on.
Mm. It's the thing, it really does make it a case of that if you've got somebody who's got control and you have somebody who's got another product that they're trying to sell through, and they sell through it. Before Bernie Ecclestone ran F1, he also had the rights to rally. He didn't want one to take away from the other. Now it's actually being run by somebody else, in this case, Dave Richards from ProDrive. It does make a big difference, and it's going to be good to see how that all works out.
Yes, and one of the immediate things we see is our good friend Greg Strange automatically just coming on and giving us all those great reports through the BBC World Service, which never before was done.
Mm, that's true. Interesting, actually, talking of Greg and the guys over there in the UK, they've actually now confirmed that at the final round of the European Super Touring Cup at Vallelunga in Italy, the top teams from the British and the Swedish series will go head-to-head with the guys from that championship. So there's going to be cars such as the ProDrive Ford Mondeos, Triple Eight Vauxhalls, Matt Neal's team, Dynamics Nissan Primera, as well as the Nissan and Volvo teams from the Swedish series are definitely going to Vallelunga to compete there, and they're saying it's going to become an unofficial World Cup. And the interesting part was that they said they would have preferred to come to Bathurst. Murphy's Law, isn't it? The year you lose Bathurst, because of the Olympics down here and so on, and the October long weekend, did you everybody say we would have been looking forward to come down here this year?
Yes, it's always the way, but we're no strangers to this sort of news, are we?
Mm.
Alright, let's have a look at what's going on around the rest of the world. I can't believe after all the years I've worked here I've never thought of doing this before, Colin. But, defending IRL champion Greg Ray, he stormed around the Atlanta Motor Speedway on Saturday night,
to win the Midas 500 Classic, becoming the seventh winner in seven Indy Racing Northern Lights Series races. And for all the arguments about open wheel racing in America, I cannot believe that more people aren't flocking to the IRL, because I was listening to it on the internet, and at times I was talking about cars two and three wide, and at previous races I know that it was the same case once again. It was cars two or three wide. In one case I heard them talking about at Texas, which is not known for being the widest circuit, they had four wide going into a corner. If that's not good racing, well then someone needs to feed them some V8 supercars. The defending champion Greg Ray dominated the race in the bright sunshine when the race began, and then later in the twilight he just kept going round the Georgia moon, rocketing to the checkered flag by 3.054 seconds. The margin would have been greater except for an accident 14 laps from the finish. Finishing in second place, Buddy Lazier, of course the Indianapolis 500 champion of about 3 years ago now, and he was chased hard to the finish line by Al Unser Jr., making his fifth top five finish in the seven races of the series so far. So Al Unser Jr. is just over the moon about IRL racing.
Talking about the racing going on around the world, interesting that during last weekend they were running the fourth round of the American Le Mans Series at Nürburgring, and Australia's David Brabham combining with Jan Magnussen with the winners in that event in a Pinawa's LMP1 from a BMW V12 driven by JJ Leto and Jorgen Muller, with the Audi R8R of Frank Wieler and Emanuele Pirro coming in third in apparently what was a very wet and miserable race that was, as a matter of fact, so damp that cars were spinning left right. That's not what we saw today at Winton. All over the infield, and actually cars were damaged, such that they couldn't finish the race down the track being damaged by spinning off around the track. But good to see David Brabham there having some luck with the Panos team at that latest round of the American Le Mans Series at Nürburgring.
Well, after a well-earned break in the 2000 racing schedule, the drivers of the Goodies Dash Series, the NASCAR Touring event, will be anxious to return to competition on the 29th of July at the Southern National Speedway 125, and of course that's in Kenley, North Carolina. And it will host the NASCAR's production sedan division. Now, amazing just how many divisions are running under the NASCAR banner. You have NASCAR Winston Cup, you have the Busch Grand National Series, you then have the Goodies Dash Series, you also have the Winston All-Pro Series, you have the Modified Series, which is sort of like the Oswego Modified style car. It's just an amazing number of series just sanctioned under the NASCAR banner. And with the NASCAR television rights now being consolidated, companies like CBS, which really made NASCAR racing huge television-wise, have actually lost out, and they did a few weeks ago their final telecast of NASCAR racing from the Daytona Motor Speedway for the Pepsi 400. And it really marks the end of what has been a long association with NASCAR racing and CBS. And of course CBS, what made CBS go flag to flag, because in fact Bathurst went flag to flag before any of the motor racing in America went flag to flag, was the inception of the in-car cameras, and Mike Raymond taking that technology over to the United States. So big changes there, and the NASCAR television right now worth an absolute squillion, and I guess with no other series rivaling them in America, it just does go to show how dominant they've all been.
And of course, the invention of the in-car camera is actually quite interesting. So if you start looking at the number of different in-car camera angles and views that are
around. They're dropping off, though. And we should preface this by saying you were working with Peter Williamson back in those days when the in-car camera came about, and it was like an extra 50 pounds being added to the car.
Yeah, it was a fair whack of weight, but you were allowed to do a couple of things in those days, because in those days it was the Group C, you had to run with the interior, you had to run with the passenger seat, so in that case you were allowed to take the passenger seat out, and then the way the camera offset, but it's still heavier, but then you did some things to sort of balance it out as you worked around. But that was a great initiative, and as we've seen, in Formula 1 we're getting less on-car, in-car stuff because of the rights there with digital TV. We're seeing a fair bit of it still with kart. We're seeing a lot of it with the V8 supercars. We see a fair whack of it with Slipstream. The one which I actually like a lot is the in-car in rallying, and I was recently seeing some stuff from the London-Sydney Marathon that's just finished the other week. some of the in-car stuff there, if people like their Michelle Mouton, when she's kind of spun off and sort of beached the Porsche at the side of the road somewhere in France or wherever. That type of stuff is great. I find particularly that the rally in-car stuff to be brilliant, particularly if you're trying to listen to somebody, you know, reads paper notes in Spanish. But the other thing, of course, that happened the other week was Pikes Peak. Again, some great people doing the old Pikes Peak in National Hill Climb, and in the Open Division there, Per Eklund in a turbocharged Saab took out the Open Division with a record-breaking run of 11 minutes 28.58 seconds. Reed Norton, son of Rod Norton, did some winning in his class. He took out the high-performance showroom stock class with a Nissan Skyline GTR, seeing a class run there of 12 minutes 4.61 seconds. And the thing that really gets me is guys up there in trucks.
Yeah. They go up there, there's modified sprint cars and all sorts of weird and wonderful things are available. Look, we need to talk some NHRA news now, as Gary Selby earned his fifth number one qualifying position of the season and the 23rd of his career on Saturday at the 22nd annual Mopar Pass Mile High Nationals at the picturesque Dannemere Speedway, which seems like an oxymoron because it's a dragway, but never mind. The two-time NHRA Winston champion, Selfie, from Fresno, California, covered the distance in 4.697 seconds at 308.21 miles per hour during the early rounds of qualifying to set the pace for the 16-car field. Selfie will meet Jim Calaver in the opening round of eliminations, and if he were to win this event, he would have six Top Fuel victories on the year, or in the year. That would equal the record for the most Top Fuel victories in one season. There are nine drivers that have won six events in one year, including Selfie in 1998. So, a pretty big ask coming up for, of course, Gary Selfie and the team there, but one that they're certainly not above doing. And also, big news, a huge meeting held last week. I don't have all the details here at the moment, but we will be catching up with Tony Thornton next week on the show, and we will be looking forward to more details on the movement in Sydney and their Andrews push towards getting championship drag racing back into New South Wales.
Yes, actually, there's quite a bit of coverage on the television about during the week, and the talk was that they were going, some of the more northern drivers are talking about setting up their dragsters and doing burnouts up and down the street in front of the Parliament House in Sydney.
In Macquarie Street.
Yeah, in Peak Hour. So I reckon that could be fun. Yes, the answer. They could probably get a few of the politicians sitting up and saying that. But in the bad news, things happening around the fact that word this week the Geelong speed trials have been cancelled. Long a sort of an interesting event that runs down in Victoria there at Geelong.
On a track which was graced by a lot of Formula One drivers back in the 60s.
Well, unfortunately, due to various reasons, the program, the Geelong speed trials, have been cancelled, and basically they're looking to see what they can do for the future, if they can try and bring it back at some stage. At the stage, things don't look, because the area where they're running it is up for major redevelopment. So the old story, the commercial people come in and away we go.
Alright then, Inside Motorsport, we hope you've enjoyed this week. My apologies to everyone who was looking forward to that Garth Tander interview. Unfortunately, the mobile phone system here in Australia got the better of us going home from Winton, but we did have Garth on the line, and right when we asked the right question, we got that all invasive sound. But Colin, thanks for dropping in again. Next weekend, the racing calendar turns, I think, back to our good friends at the Super Touring Car Championship. The other thing is Wednesday night. Midnight Wednesday night, we can catch up with all the racing from Super Touring Cars at Oran Park. And as you heard from Phil Brannigan right at the start of the show, the most impressive racing he's seen in quite some time.
Yep. Actually, the next round of Super Touring isn't until the end of August, so we've got a bit of a break for some weeks. But next weekend, it's Software and PCs are at the Second Ring in Germany. The American Le Mans Series is back in the United States at Sears Point Raceway in the US. And CART, they're at Michigan.
All right, we leave you now with the BBC's Jonathan Ledyard as he previews tonight's race, Formula One racing at the A1 ring in Spielberg.
It was the best result McLaren could have achieved on Saturday. Now comes the challenge of a Sunday best. Understandably, with 8 races remaining, Ron Dennis has ruled out team orders for his 2 drivers. The memory of last year's embarrassing second corner collision between Coulthard and Hakkinen should be enough to keep minds concentrated. But Ferrari instructions to Barrichello will be revealing. Schumacher's championship bid is clearly the priority. And any spanner Barrichello can throw in the McLaren works at the start by splitting the front 2 will be much appreciated. Coulthard's finished 2nd here 3 years running, but if Hakkinen's return to form is maintained in the race, then Coulthard could find himself hunted more than hunting. For certain, any confrontation with Schumacher after their falling out in France should be well worth watching.
Well, the New Zealand Motor Rally has finished with victory for Finland's Marcus Grönholm. All the news in Auckland from Sam Lloyd.
24 stages and 1,619 kilometres completed, and it's Peugeot's Marcus Grönholm and co-driver Timo Rautiainen who claim their 2nd victory of the year. Grönholm convincingly held on to his overnight lead, eventually winning by 14.5 seconds ahead of Colin McRae in the Ford. The Briton always knew that he faced a difficult task, and despite setting quicker times than Grönholm, the margin was just too great for McRae to take the lead, while his teammate Carlos Sainz completes the podium. The retirement list is surprisingly long in an event that's not known to be punishing on cars. With an early exit for Richard Burns when his Subaru failed to restart with 4 stages to go. But the Briton retains the championship lead, albeit by 4 points ahead of Grönholm, while McRae is 3rd.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple SFM Canberra via Comrade Sat with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.